You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Transitioning from one special series to the next. March Around the World is over. Welcome now to TPC's coverage of Confederate History Month 2023, and we're kicking this off on the first day of the month, no less, live with a remote broadcast from South Carolina, where authors of The Honorable Cause of Free South are on hand and have been on hand all day today for interviews and for book signings. And we'll talk to a few of those contributors this evening as we kick off something we have done for the last 19 years on the radio. I'm James Edwards. Welcome to the program. And I have been reading in recent weeks about the Rebel Yell. I've read firsthand accounts from Yankees who heard it, talking about how it would send chills and shivers down their spine, that it was otherworldly. And this is something, of course, that the Confederate commanders insisted upon. They wanted them to yell like furies and drive them back to Washington. And it's something that we got from our Scottish ancestors. But nevertheless, here at this live remote broadcast tonight in South Carolina, we have a packed house. I mean, people going back about as far as I can see. It's the biggest crowd we've had at any given point during one of our live broadcasts from this location. And I know that the blood of Confederate veterans is flowing through a lot of the veins that my eyes see tonight. And I want to give a rebel yell so loud, that our ancestors can hear it up in heaven tonight. Do you think we can do that? Let's see. I want a rebel yell the best you can muster. One, two, three. They got it, ladies and gentlemen. Look at Dennis right there. That's right. My people, you did it. You exceeded expectations. Give it up, a big round of applause for all the Confederate veterans and the sons of Confederate veterans and all the people with rebel blood in their veins tonight. God bless you, folks, and thank you for turning out for tonight's live broadcast of TPC. Well, how do we follow that, Patrick Martin? I mean, how do you follow an intro to this month's special installment that could top what we just heard?
I don't know that you can. I think I just saw a bunch of Yankee transplants leave the state of South Carolina.
I think they heard it all the way up in downtown Greenville.
May they hear it down in Atlanta, too, please. Lord Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll tell you, we have done this. This is something we cut our teeth on. And, of course, people ask from time to time, why do we celebrate Confederate History Month on this show? Well, of course, it's because we're proud of our Southern heritage, and we hold in the highest regard our ancestors who fought to preserve the American way of life from 1861 to 1865. They were the last people who fought that way on this continent, and never should their memory be besmirched. They fought harder. They sacrificed more than anybody that has come after them.
Amen. There's no question about it. It would be very hard to even understand the kind of pain and suffering that they went through and the sacrifices they went. Right now, we've got folks here in the United States that are not willing to take a stand for a statue because they're afraid that they might not be able to buy McDonald's this weekend for whatever reason, whatever economic reasons. These are people that actually lost their homes, lost their grounds, lost their farms, lost their families. That's a very different level of courage that they had back then.
It absolutely is. And we do our best to emulate that in the ways that we can. It certainly pales in comparison to the sacrifice of blood and bone that they offered. But we do what we can with what we've gotten and what the talents the Lord has given us, the opportunities that he's given us until perhaps another army is raised. And who knows the way things are going, how far off that might be. Maybe not as far as people may think. But we will get into all of that. The Lord has blessed us this April. There are actually five Saturdays in the month of April. Now, of course, there's never more than 4 weeks in any given month, but we do have five Saturdays in April, which is a a little bit of a novelty and a rarity, so we will have a little extra Confederate History Month coverage. But, Patrick, you're going to be with me for the first 2 hours in alternating segments. We've got a lot of people we want to talk to, including the beautiful and talented Rebecca Dillingham, who's sitting right here to our right flank. We've got the great and good Rich Hamblin here to our left. And so before you get off this first segment, let's talk about exactly why we're here today. Brand new book. It hard launched today. The Honorable Cause, A Free South, hard launched today, but it soft launched online a little bit more than a week ago. What would you say to the reaction that this book has received so far?
It has been outstanding. First of all, I cannot say enough of how impressed I am with Today at Dixie Republic. There have been more people than I think we even originally imagined. But the book itself, since it was soft launched, has been in the top 15 of the national. Has been the top 15 of the nationalist category in book sales for Amazon, and has actually broke through the number 10 as of today. So we have been in the top 10 books, and we're competing against folks, by the way, who have David Hansen, folks like the Vivek Ramaswamy guy, I think that's his name. So we've been competing against folks with millions of dollars, big publishing houses. And we're toe-to-toe with them on Amazon, and it has been amazing. And the feedback has been great because we are getting folks that are coming to us and asking us deep questions. How? And the most important one is, how do I get involved? How do I help the South become a free and independent Dixie? It has been outstanding.
Now, we're going to be talking with you about that very proposition. How realistic is it? Is it just a fever dream? How do we get there? A lot of that's in the book, but we'll learn a lot more first person with you tonight. But, yes, indeed. That has been the case, and so sales have been brisk online, and then today it sold out. The books that were actually in stock here on location today sold out, and we had a pretty good long line of folks coming in to say hello, and it was great to see them.
It was.
Anybody that would drive to pick up a book and say hello, you know, certainly deserved a nice salute.
Yeah, we had folks come in from Virginia, still here, by the way, folks from Florida that drove up overnight to go see us, Tennessee. All over the South. I mean, you
Alabama.
Really can't. Yeah, Alabama. I mean, you really can't. That kind of commitment for a book launch is just outstanding. And this is not with millions of dollars in big publishing houses. This is us working together as a team to accomplish something as a group of 12 individuals who came together to write something that was important enough for folks to give up their Saturday and drive this far to come see us.
We've got about a minute remaining this first segment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just kicking off Confederate History Month. This is our first show of the month. We've got five of them. First segment of the first show. We are just getting started. But, Patrick, the book. We talked about this when you teased it, I believe, back in February. Why now with this particular book and this particular message? Because you were the editor. You were the one who assembled the contributors. You were the one who put it all together.
2023 is going to be one of the most important years in Southern nationalist history. We've got to get our act together. 2024 is coming along. It's going to be a big election year, and I do believe that we're going to have a lot of disappointed people in the outcome of the presidential election. We need to be able to give them an alternative. That alternative has to be secession. That alternative has to be where we can turn to them and say, this is why this is failing. These United States are failing, but there is an alternative. It's called a free South, and we need to be ready in 2023. We need to be building those building blocks right now so that by 2024, folks know that they have an alternative, and that alternative is us. Alternative is a free South.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Patrick Martin. He is the editor of the brand new book. He also contributed a chapter and the foreword as well. The Honorable Cause of Free South. It is available now at Amazon.com, and you'll be hearing more from Patrick as the night continues. Rebecca Dillingham on deck, and she'll be up next. Stay tuned. Big round of applause, everybody, for Patrick Martin.
The Honorable Cause of Free South is a collection of 12 essays written by Southern nationalist authors. The book explores topics such as what is the Southern nation, what is Southern nationalism, and how can we achieve a free and independent Dixie. The Honorable Cause answers questions on our own terms. The book invites readers to understand for themselves why a free and independent Dixie is both preferable and possible. The book pulls in some of the biggest producers of pro-South content, including James Edwards, the host and creator of The Political Cesspool, and Wilson Smith, author of Charlottesville Untold, Arkansas congressional candidate and activist Neil Kumar, host and creator of the Dissident Mama podcast, Rebecca Dillingham, author of A Walk in the Park, My Charlottesville Story, Identity Dixie's Patrick Martin, and yours truly, Michael Hill, founder and president of the League of the South, as well as several other authors. The Honorable Cause is available now at Amazon.com.
True Passover versus Easter. The Catholic Church and most denominations follow the Jewish Passover. Here is the Jewish tradition. The Passover takes place 14 days after the new moon, after the equinox. But what does God say? In Isaiah 1, verse 14, quote, "Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals I hate with all my being," unquote. Now notice God's word versus Jewish tradition. Quote, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight is the Lord's Passover," unquote. That's from Leviticus 23, verse 5. God's year begins on the spring equinox. Passover is always on the 14th day of God's year, the 14th day after the equinox. The Sunday after the Passover is Resurrection Sunday. None of this is about fertility, which is exactly what Easter is all about. Easter bunny and eggs, fertility rites, are paganism.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool. Turn there, I want to go to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on the frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
I've got to tell you, folks, of all the people we've interviewed over all these years, Rebecca Dillingham has one of the most fun bios to read of anybody that's ever come on the show. I love reading it so much I had to pull it up again, even though she's no stranger to you by now. Rebecca Dillingham, who is also Dissident Mama. You can find her at dissidentmama.net. She's a truth warrior, a Jesus follower, wife, boy mom, lifelong learner, and co-founder of the Ludwell Orthodox Fellowship. She's an apologetics practitioner for Orthodox Christianity, the Southern tradition, homeschooling, and freedom. She's Virginian by birth, Carolinian by choice, recovering feminist, socialist, atheist, graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and retired mainstream journalist turned domesticated belle and rabble-rousing rhetorician. Did everybody pick up on all that? That's a tough one to read. That's a lot of words. But I'll tell you another thing about Rebecca. She is adept at triggering leftists, Yankees, neocons, and globo homers, and she's going to bang as loudly as she can. She doesn't worship sacred cows. She eats them at dissidentmama.net. She's here with us right now. Let's hear it for Rebecca Dillingham. How you doing, Rebecca? Out of all the times we've had you on, first time live?
Yes, thank you. I'm a little nervous, but I'll try my best.
No way. You said that the first time you were on, and you did so good. That was a couple, 3 years ago now. And it was a Confederate History Month appearance, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. I've been on four or five times.
That's right, at least. And only to grow from here. So you contributed a chapter to this book that we're so excited about telling folks about, and we have been rolling out the launch. By the way, Dr. Tomislav Sunic, talking about last month's March Around the World, our good friend Tom Sunic just wrote a review of the book that was published by Dr. Kevin McDonald at the OccidentalObserver.net just yesterday. Just yesterday. John, have a chance to read it yet?
I have.
Patrick has read it. Have you taken a look at it yet?
I perused it, but I have not read it from beginning to
well,
end.
Well, it's very good. I know we have been here, and you've been traveling since it's been published, and then, of course, today you were very busy all day. As everybody here has been, but it's very good, so check that out. But that's what I'm talking about. We're rolling out the launch of this thing, obviously, tonight, and a lot of reviews and articles and interviews are forthcoming over the next few days. But let's talk about your chapter, Rebecca. Tell us the title of it and the theme that you wanted to drive home for the readers.
I don't even remember the title. Because I think it got changed. Sorry. Live radio.
Well, I mean, you know, again, why should you know the title of your own chapter? I mean, I'll be honest, that was a tough question.
Sorry.
Well, tell us what it's about.
It is about the fact that the South needs a lot of unified things, but I would say it needs a unified faith, and one that can't be wiggly and squishy and defined by everybody in their own way. And I think it's one of the, it actually is the most important aspect, that if we get faith right, any type of secession movement moving forward will have legs, because political change is great. You know, there can be lots of wins that occur, but they're not going to have staying power unless we have our faith right. So I am an Orthodox Christian. So, you know, I say in my chapter that I do want people to embrace Orthodoxy, but at the very least, we have to have some kind of little O Orthodoxy to really be a nation, because that's one of the defining factors of nationhood, is people share a faith and not different kinds of faith and lots of pluralism and everybody can do what they want to do.
Well, that's exactly right, because the faith roots you in something eternal. You are attached to things more than if you're a rootless cosmopolitan, as they like to call it, or just a vapid consumer or something like that. You need a faith in something eternal that can bridge you to your past and your present and your future. And that's, of course, what Christianity has been for our people, not just here in the South, but I think especially in the South now in current times. But, of course, going back to Europe, which was also known as Christendom for, you know, many centuries now. But do you think, Rebecca, that the conditions, and this is something I'll be talking with Patrick about in the next segment, do you think that conditions are becoming more favorable for people to seriously consider secession as not just an alternative, but the preferable outcome for themselves and their families?
Yes, I think current times are necessitating a lot of changes for the good. You know, would I be even an Orthodox Christian if Protestantism had not been spiritually abusive to my family?
Yes, that's good. Yeah,
feel that's how we became friends, is because we bonded on that issue. So. Yeah, I mean, I think that everybody can see that this thing called America isn't working out too well. So people are looking to secession more than ever.
Well, we have talked about this. I know it's been mentioned on the program at least a couple of times, but this is the latest Rasmussen poll from just in February, so just a few weeks ago now. 47% of Republican voters say, and these are the ones that are being honest with the pollster, keep in mind, that they support a national divorce. And as I like to say, this wasn't me and you and Patrick calling up 100 random numbers on the telephone and saying we just conducted a poll and 47% said they want secession. Now, this was a Rasmussen poll. This is a respected, you know, establishment mainstream polling agency. And so, as Brad Griffin wrote at Occidental Dissent, you know, whether it's support for ending the war in Ukraine or opposing anti-whiteism and the Great Replacement or even desiring a national divorce, which is, of course, a euphemism for secession or independence or whatever you need to call it to wrap your mind around this being the thing that needs to happen, our so-called extremist views are rapidly going mainstream. You're talking 47% of Republicans. That's tens of millions of people that you have to work with here. And so, you know, still we wait for the leader that will take the message to the people and find that sweet spot where timing and circumstance intersect. But I think that there's at least a favorability there, and the conditions are getting to the point now where people will listen to that. Brad's so confident in it that he says, in light of this public level of support, people should start running for state office on a secessionist platform. But as I told Patrick last night, and as I said in a talk in Dallas last week, I don't want to make America great again. I want to leave it behind, and I want to learn from its mistakes, because obviously there is no future for our people, and by that I mean white Christian people, especially white Christian Southerners, in this union. And there can be no union among people who have nothing in common. So secession is going to be our salvation, and we will either secede, and we will either break away, or we will go down, and we will die. And now they are not only actively killing us, as we saw in Nashville, they are mocking our dead. And it has gotten to that point now.
Right. It's become so extreme that the people who have been comfortable, you know, we call them normies, but they've been so comfortable that I went to a secession conference in 2018 and, you know, conservative people that I knew, homeschool moms, looked at me like I had two heads. Well, now they use the word secession in everyday conversation, too, because they understand how tragic things have become and how extreme they've become and how much on any issue you look at, people don't have autonomy, people don't have a choice, and we are constantly painted into a corner. And it's like I tell my friends that come to me and want me to give them like inside baseball stuff on politics. And I say, do you want the long story? The short gist of it is they hate you and want you dead. And that's kind of what it is on any topic my friends bring to me is, well, you know, I can give you all the sordid details and tell you the names, but at the end of it, they hate you and want you dead. So that's the takeaway, and I think most people realize that.
Well, we've got the title of your chapter now, and you open it with a quote from the very venerable Southern historian, former University of South Carolina professor, Dr. Clyde Wilson, whose daughter was also a contributing author to this book and who was here today for the book signing, Ann Wilson Smith. Dear great lady. Everybody out there, big round of applause. She's not here now, but for Ann Wilson Smith. Great to sit with you and her and Patrick at the table today. But what did it mean to be asked to contribute to this book? We have about a minute remaining. And you can tell us the name of the chapter now.
Okay, it is called, Is the Orthodox Faith the Solution? Building Upon a Southern Ethnos Through True Faith. So the editor changed it on me, so that's why
that's
I got
why
stumped.
You didn't know. Well, okay, see, that's why. That's a reasonable.
He made it better. He made it better, but it stumped me. And what was the question, James?
To be asked to contribute to this, I know I was tickled to read, and I retweeted it. I'm a published author now, as you sent to your following there on Twitter, and I was excited about it too. So your thoughts about being included in this? And
well, it was an honor to be among such esteemed company, and yes, to be published. But I think.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jerry Barmash. The death toll from a rash of tornadoes on Friday is rising to at least 22. This comes after four people died in structural collapses in Illinois. At least five people died in Arkansas from the storms. But Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders is proud of how her state is coming together.
From a city, a county, a state, and a federal perspective, I would say that everyone is working in total lockstep.
Along with downed trees and power lines, many homes or businesses were heavily damaged or destroyed. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush is calling the indictment of former President Donald Trump, quote, very political. Trump is expected to be arraigned in Manhattan on Tuesday, but Bush tweeted it is, quote, not a matter of justice. Stormy Daniels says the indictment is poetic, but bittersweet. Influencer Andrew Tate is being released from jail and placed on house arrest in Romania. Tate and his brother Tristan remain under investigation for alleged human trafficking claims. He and his brother have been in custody since December on suspicion of trafficking, rape, and forming an organized crime group. Millions of Americans are at risk of losing Medicaid coverage.
The reality will hit home first for residents in Arizona, Arkansas, Idaho, New Hampshire, and South Dakota. Those are the first five states that will begin dropping people from the Medicaid rolls as early as this month. Medicaid enrollment skyrocketed since March 2020. That's when lawmakers passed the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, which prevented states from involuntarily removing anyone from coverage. 14 more states will begin dropping people in May and 20 additional states in June. All states must complete their redeterminations of Medicaid eligibility over the next 14 months. I'm John Schaefer.
Pope Francis is back at the Vatican after a short hospital stay for bronchitis. This is USA News.
You've been working hard, doing the right thing and paying your taxes and putting your hard-earned money in the Medicare piggy bank all your life. And now it's time to break the piggy bank and get something back. Medicare. If you didn't know it, Medicare is health insurance for people over 65, and you've paid for it with your tax dollars. Medicare plans now have more benefits than ever. That's good news, especially if you're like me and looking forward to paying as little as possible for good health insurance. Call and find out what Medicare plan is best for you. Save your time. It's valuable. We've already done the research for you. And in one quick phone call, you can learn how to get the best Medicare plan designed exactly for you. Hey, it's one of the most important decisions in your life. Let us help you through it. Here's our number. Call 65 Plus Medicare now. 800-778-8214. 800-778-8214. That's 800-778-8214.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the live broadcast tonight. We got so carried away and so excited by Rebecca's appearance that we ran right into the wall of the commercial break, and we just didn't stop talking. So if you're wondering why she got cut off abruptly, well, we were just not – I was not paying attention. She was doing great. I was not paying attention. But what I was going to say before the end of her segment, be sure to check out DissidentMama.net. I am there constantly. She has a great interview series that she posts regularly. And I always love reading her writings about what she's up to personally. She writes about her family, of course, about things historical in nature. DissidentMama.net, an outstanding contributor to this brand new book, The Honorable Cause of Free South, available now at Amazon.com and in her own right as a commentator there at DissidentMama.net. Now, back with us is the editor of the book, Patrick Martin. And, Patrick, I just want to hold court here for just a second and kind of recap the wonderful conversation that I thought that you and I had at supper last night. And yes. I said last night, this is something we need to try to condense for a segment on the radio. And with regards to the question of secession or independence or national divorce, whatever you want to call it, we must have that. I think that that's the only responsible, healthy, moral choice for our people going forward. If you care about your children, you care about your future progeny, you have got to get away from what the United States has become. I mean, perhaps we could have said that for decades now, but I think now more than ever, and I think in the last month, it has crystallized in such a way that it should be readily apparent and just obvious to everybody. And I'll just give you a couple of examples of things that have happened just since our last show.
Yeah.
Our last show. You had the situation in Nashville, the terrible act of terrorism by a so-called transgendered. I don't believe that people are transgendered. I believe that there are people that are mentally ill. Of course, homosexuality itself used to be called by the American Psychiatric Association a mental illness, much less so-called transgenderism. And then, of course, they still are. They're just no longer officially listed by the APA because political correctness took care of that. But you have the situation in Nashville. And by the way, you would have had that in Uganda. Let that sink in for a moment. You would not have had that in Uganda. They are advanced and superior to us in that respect. Nick Griffin, a friend of ours who also appeared during our March Around the World series last week, former member of European Parliament, said that the BBC was covering the situation in Nashville at length and not one mention of the ideology of the shooter. NBC, for instance, the headline reads, "Fear Pervades Tennessee's Transgendered Community." And then I would say that, and they pivot, of course, to guns because they can't hang it on a Dylan Roof type of situation where they can hang it on race or ideology, so they're going to pivot to guns. Americans have always been armed. Guns are not the problem. There were no routine mass shootings when we had a homogenous, high-trust society. Diversity, multiculturalism, and mental illness like this have ruined our peace and tranquility. I liked what Jason Kessler said, also a guest on our series last month. What the media is doing to white Christians right now is definitely uncharted territory. Could you imagine, and I hate to use this example because everybody's a neo-Nazi now. You voted for Trump, you're a neo-Nazi. But Jason writes, could you imagine if a neo-Nazi shot up a Jewish children's school and the media were all writing articles about how scared and marginalized the neo-Nazis are? And now we mentioned 47% of Republicans now in favor of national divorce. I think that these situations have to exacerbate that. Anti-white terrorism and threats of violence are surging. You had the White House press secretary, quote, "Our hearts go out to the trans community as they are under attack right now." A great Christian commentator by the name of Eric Kahn wrote, "The regime hates you and everything you love." That's obviously true. Also, Jason Kessler, "The left is going straight up medieval on conservatives. Your king is under arrest." We haven't even gotten to the Trump indictment that just got handed down in the last week. "Your king is under arrest. Your kids are murdered while they laugh." And, of course, that is where we are. A transgender terrorist murdered 6 Christians last week. The media is refusing to release its manifesto. Trump has now been indicted, which I think could be a good thing. Perhaps he'll never have been more useful than he is now as martyr Trump. We'll see where it goes. But and then the media and Hollywood people like Madonna. Madonna going to Nashville at the site of this terrorist act and raising money for the people who share the shooter's ideology. Madonna announces rights a Nashville show benefiting transgendered rights. This must be the first time in history a fundraiser was held supporting a mass shooter rather than the victims. Jefferson Davis once said, our president, the principle for which we contend is bound to reassert itself, though it may be at another time and in another form. Is that time now, Patrick?
It is. It is. I think the biggest problem we have right now, honestly, is that these transgender types and everything else, they don't fear us. It's time for us to make them fear us. It's time for us to make us make them afraid of what we can do. And we are building a movement right now because they are giving us the fuel to build that movement. When you kill our children, you better be afraid to kill Christian children. We better create a society where you cannot go raise money on behalf of an ideology predicated on the idea that gender is mutable, that God is wrong, and that you can kill our children at will. At what point in time do we build a fear in them? And the only way we build a fear in them is we build this nation state, the Southern nation state, that carves out its own identity, its own people, and decides for itself where its government should be. And I promise you that in a free South, there is no way some gender freak, some homosexual, is going to go and shoot up a bunch of Christian children's and get away with it. It won't happen. Now, there's nobody going to be apologizing for them in a free South, and we need to be able to establish that. Now is the time to carve out a future for our own people. It is very clear that when you have a media out of New York, when you have a media out of Hollywood that are apologists for this kind of creature, this terrorist creature, when you have people that go out and sing songs to make money for these creatures, those are not our people. Those are people that don't share our values. They do not share our traditions. They don't share our history, our culture. They don't share that. It's time for us to begin standing up and fighting. And the only way we fight with this is we begin to identify who we are. We unify around cause, and that cause has got to be a free and independent Dixie. That is where we need to start.
What you're talking about in terms of fear and consequences, certainly not vigilantism, but that there will
Correct.
Be repercussions. There will be repercussions. We're not going to go out and start shooting everybody that identifies this way, but obviously, and
Right.
to advocate or entertain anything like that is something that we've always been against. But there has to be consequences in so much as this will not be tolerated. There will be consequences. This will not be welcomed here. There has to be a righteous intolerance. People treat the word intolerance as if it's a bad thing. It is a very healthy thing. It's our natural defense system to things that would be harmful for our people and our way of life. We have to have a righteous intolerance for evil.
Yeah, and when you think about it, so what is the one rule they say? You cannot have mental illness and buy a gun. Now, if this person who was seeing a
Great
therapist,
point.
Right, was seeing a therapist for her gender dysphoria, went out and bought a gun because that therapist did not report the fact that this freak, and that's what she is or was, wound up, they did not go out there and report her. So she was able to buy guns legally. Well, what kind of consequence do we have in a society where we don't call freak a freak? Where we don't have any kind of, where we have these tolerance for behaviors that are clearly demonic? That is not the Southern way. That is not a Christian way.
Well, I'll tell you something else that isn't Christian. The Wayne State University professor up in Michigan, Steve Shaviro, said, and I quote, "I think it is far more admirable to kill a racist, a homophobe, or a transphobe person than it is to shout them down." To which Kevin McDonald responded, "When shouting down conservatives fails, there's always murder. This is the side of anarchy and violence and terrorism, but when they do it, it is excused. It is excused. They are raised money for. I mean, this person, is he going to be on a hate list by the ADL, the SPLC? I don't think so. But this is it. They are calling for our death. And by the way, when they say racist, when they say white supremacist, they mean white person. They mean a white person, but they especially mean a white Trump voter. It doesn't mean, I know I'm speaking to the crier in this place and on this program, racist, white supremacist, neo-Nazi, that means Trump voter now. And that's who they mean, and that's who they intend to kill, and that's who this guy wants to murder.
If you are not a self-loathing white person, you are their enemy. We have raised generations of Americans in general to avoid any kind of label of so-called fascist. Well, when we do that and we make apologies for Bolshevism and communism and Marxism, we essentially make it easier for these professors to make these kind of outlandish claims. And now the definition of being a so-called fascist is simply a white person who does not want to see his culture wiped off the face of the earth.
I got to say this because we're coming up on a break, and I hope I can hear it this time. I got my headset potted up pretty loud. But the left does never apologize.
Agreed.
If they commit an act of terrorism, they close ranks, and they defend the shooter and its ideology. The SPLC didn't apologize for having a staff attorney being arrested and charged with domestic terrorism. They blamed the people who arrested him. You know, there were two insurrections that were held in the last week in Nashville and in Kentucky at the state houses in Tennessee and Kentucky. And I'll tell you about that when we come back with Patrick Martin, editor of the new book. You've got to have it. You've got to have it. The Honorable Cause of Free South. We'll be right back. Big round of applause for Patrick again, everybody.
Hi, TPC family. This is your host, James Edwards. Our friends at American Free Press have a special offer for listeners of this radio program. Subscribe to American Free Press today using coupon code TPC for half off the regular price. AFP is America's last real newspaper. Against all odds, AFP has and continues to publish a populist independent print newspaper with an unparalleled track record. Founded by a dedicated group of experienced patriots, AFP pulls no punches and tackles the most controversial and pressing issues from an America First perspective. Subscribe today for 1 year at just $29. That's half off the regular price. And receive a free copy of AFP's recently published report on George Soros, a $15 value. Visit AmericanFreePress.net today, coupon code TPC. Subscribe now at AmericanFreePress.net, coupon code TPC.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to LocalHoneyMan.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at LocalHoneyMan.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Welcome back, everybody. First segment of the first hour of the first week of Confederate History Month Series 2023 here on TPC. I'm James Edwards. You've heard so far tonight in this hour from Patrick Martin and Rebecca Dillingham, both co-authors of the brand new book, The Honorable Cause of Free South. Get it tonight on Amazon.com. Now, I know right now we're sort of kicking off this series talking about more contemporary issues, not about things of more historical in nature, which we typically do on Confederate History Month, and which we certainly will as this month continues to play itself out. We are going to remember the heroes of the South during those war years and so many more stories. But right now, we are talking about why the cause that they have fought for ought to be our cause again. And we were talking just before the break and during the break as well about the insurrections. That's what they called it on January 6th. We'll call it that. At the state houses in Tennessee and Kentucky, at least. We've heard that it's happened in some other states as well, over so-called transgendered rights. So a transgendered person or a person who identifies as being a transgender goes in and murders in cold blood six white Christians. And, of course, the people who take issue with that are the real bad guys. You criticize transgender, you're the bad guy. So now all of these people who are in favor of this ideology, if you've seen the footage, and it's all over social media, they have stormed the state capitol building in Nashville and the state capitol building in Kentucky. And do you know how the media covered that? Totally different than January 6th. They said, in January 6th, that was the threat to democracy. These people who were really just sort of milling around for the most part, taking a tour, they said that is a threat to the democracy, the biggest threat to democracy we've had since what they call the Civil War. When their people did it this week in Kentucky and in Tennessee and elsewhere, they said, this is what democracy looks like. We need to see this every day. And that just goes to show, I think that example and that example alone just goes to show that there is no honesty, there is no good in our enemy and those who have this opposing ideology. If I could read that, one of the three adults was a, where? In Nashville. You are correct. Thank you. Yes, one of the victims in Nashville was a black gentleman, correct? Okay, so. What's that?
His name is Mike Hill.
Is that true?
Yes.
His name is Mike Hill. Okay.
Dr. Hill will be interested to hear that.
Well, that's a terrible thing, and our heart goes out to him and his family as well. I thought that they were all white. Not that that matters. I mean, they were targeted for being Christians in this particular case, but I mean, it doesn't not matter. It does matter, but we want to be right on the facts. In any event, there's no good, no honesty in these people. See, we just corrected an error that I had made, and that's the way we do things around here. They're not operating in good faith. And again, I don't see how you can have a union with that. But Rebecca, you made an interesting comment about the so-called woke storming these state capitals. The media giving them cover. It's a good thing when they do it. It's bad. Yeah, they're sweating that. It's a bad thing when they do it. What was the comment you made during the break about that?
Well, after Dylann Roof shot up the AME church in South Carolina, we had to sacrifice the Confederate battle flag on the altar of political correctness. Well, why are we not doing the same for the trans flag or the rainbow flag at the very least, or one of their many?
That's a great point. That's a great observation.
Right. And then another thing, one of the things they talked about in the lead up to this, when state houses in some states were saying, you know, we're not going to pay for genital mutilation of children, et cetera, et cetera.
And that's what they're supposedly rallying for.
Right.
That's what they're supposedly storming the state capitals for, is because these states are passing laws to prevent that from happening.
Right. And of course, Andy Ngo, who himself is a gay journalist out in the Pacific Northwest, a very honest one, he disproved that. It is a complete lie. And, you know, if you're mean to trans people, they say, well, you know, they're going to harm themselves. And there is an over 40% suicide rate for trans. And that's not because we treat them mean. It's because of what you said originally. They try to define their happiness through surgeries and Lupron and sexual deviancy, and they need to get right with God. And it's not about happiness, you know. Happiness is fleeting. When when they don't have a foundation, they're going to be sad.
And I wish, if we had an honest media, which of course we don't, that there would be some investigative journalism on how many people go through this process of mutilating their genitals to the point where they can never have a family. How many of them are happy with that decision 5 years out, 10 years out, 1 year out? I would like to know. I bet people might be shocked to find out
what those numbers are. Who are put themselves out there publicly who regret it immensely. And what do they say? Why did nobody try to stop me?
Well, these doctors should have their license revoked. They should be imprisoned. I mean, this is robbing a person of their femininity or their masculinity, their ability to procreate, which is, I think, at the root of a lot of why the media is pushing this. That's another thing. But just very quickly on this, and it goes back to why people need to be entertaining the idea of a separation from the system. I can't just say it's the government, because it's not as if the government is inherently better if a Republican is in there. I mean, if Trump was in there, we would still need a separation from this system, the judicial system, the media system, the academic system, and so on. All of the institutions of power we need to separate from, and that includes, of course, the federal government, but not just the federal government. It's not just because of who's currently in, you know, the current puppets that are occupying these seats. We need to disinvest from the entire system. But while we're on the topic of so-called transgendered, you had the Jewish commentator David Pakman, who said that if these Christians had just prayed a little harder, this wouldn't have happened, mocking our dead. And then something about they cry out as they strike you. People began to take issue with his comment, and he said his family is suffering anti-Semitic attacks. So he's the victim. They are never wrong. They never apologize. They are always the victim, even when they kill you or mock your dad. And Joe Biden this week said that wrote an official proclamation, or his handlers did, and you know he's just the president. He's not calling the shots, but he's the one who put it out. There was an official proclamation in which Joe Biden was quoted as saying, "Transgender people shape our nation's soul." Well, if that's the case, that is another reason why, if you love your children and if you love your faith and if you love your history, the transgender issue, this is another fad. This is just the latest radical egalitarian movement. They're all bad. We focus on this, but it's that and so much more. It's not just this issue. It's just because this is the current media interest du jour that why we're saying we need a separation, but this is a pretty interesting catalyst. One more thing, and I'll turn it over to you, Patrick. Ricky Vaughn, the guy who put out the thing where if you can text your vote to vote for Hillary, he's facing now 10 years in jail. At the same time, a black man who raped girls aged 4 through 9 years of age was sentenced to 180 days. So this is this system. This is this country, and we need something better.
There is no reforming these United States. There is no way we're going to reform this government. This is one of the things that really needs to be hit home and often. We have nothing in common with people in places like Minnesota or New York State, where they are passing laws that will allow children to bypass their parents to go get their quote-unquote gender-affirming care. And yet we in the South are passing laws that are limiting or restricting these so-called gender-affirming care. You asked a few moments ago, what are the statistics on those who regret their choices? In the UK, there was a study that came out a few years ago, and it was actually banned. And the study came out and said that 8 out of 9 so-called transgenders who made a transition prior to the age of 18 regretted it by the time they were 21 years old. 8 out of 9. That has been the catalyst for many of these new laws restricting this stuff. You cannot talk people in Minnesota or Washington State, maybe the folks in the eastern side, maybe the folks in the rural side, but they are passing laws up there that are absolutely antithetical to our values down here. There is going to be no national conciliation with people like that. It will not happen. It is time for us to understand that the only way we have forward, the only path we have forward, is secession. It's carving out our own country, our own nation state, predicated on our own ideals and our own ethnicity.
And if Donald Trump's arrest or his indictment, and I guess they're going to book him. He's going to do the perp walk. He's going to get a mugshot. I guess that's what I hear. If that can further, I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. If that can further widen the political divide, that is a good thing for us. People have to know what we already know, what we've known for years, that there is no reforming this system. But if enough people begin to believe that, if they know it in their heart, then they just await the event, whether it's an economic collapse, whatever happens. There's so many things that could happen, and we'll talk with you about that in the next hour, Patrick. You laid out for me a hypothetical scenario that sort of revolves around the Trump indictment that could be a way it could go. And I'm not saying that it's likely or probable, but it's an interesting sort of thought experiment. And we'll get into that in the next hour as this all continues. But people are going to have to come to realize it. And now with the Trump indictment, the situation with Russia and us antagonizing a nuclear war, the only thing holding our the people in this country together. There is not one people. There are many different nations living in this continent now, on this continent now, that are separated into two blocks, the blue and the red. But the only thing holding them together with any sort of semblance of cohesiveness is a very tepid economy. And so you could have an economic collapse, the Trump arrest and prosecution and potential imprisonment, the situation with Russia, you name it, a lot could happen. And while all of that's potentially happening, you have critical race theory, gender mutilation, the so-called trans movement afoot to take your children and turn them into this, and everything else that's happened in the last couple of years, the nonstop orgy of violence from BLM and Antifa after George Floyd and the taking down of the monuments. People are seeing it now more than I think they ever have in my lifetime. We got about 30 seconds left. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree. And they literally cry out while they strike us. They are the ones who are literally doing it, and they're striking us often. We need to respond.
I've never interviewed anybody that's caught a domestic terrorism charge. I don't think the SPLC can say that. We've never interviewed anybody that's committed an act of murder or advocated for an act of murder. So, yeah, but listen, they won't apologize for that. They'll move through that. Hypocrisies and double standards never trip them up. Our people have got to understand they're not dealing in good faith, and you cannot deal with a person who's not dealing in good faith.
Amen.
That's the first hour, everybody. We got two more to go. Thank you for being here. We'll be right back.